red light is on, that means don't stop. Remember to talk right in there, Zach. That's where the mic is.
It's been so long, I don't remember. I don't remember where I'm supposed to talk.
What's the top of this thing? Show that we do?
Something about bonfires or movies,
bonfires,
I guess.
Bonfires and vanities.
Movie bonfire. Hey, what's up? This is Zach Freeman.
And this is Will Carter. We're back on the scene with another movie bonfire.
We are. You might have thought that we were gone, but we're not. We thought we were gone. But apparently we're not. We've just been informed of this. Our funding has been re-upped for the year 2009. It was just, you know, economic crisis. We thought Movie Bonfire was going under, but we're back.
We got our budget approved for the year.
Yeah.
We're fine. Don't worry about it. It was a little dicey back there in December. We were going to get cut.
But yeah. But they said that content, it's so good. We need it. So today we're going to talk about the movie Revolutionary Road. This is the new Sam Mendes directed film, starring Kate Winslet, Leonardo DiCaprio, who apparently are in love with each other from the Golden Globes, or at least Kate Winslet's in love with him. I don't know. We'll get to that later. But this is a film about, it's like 1950s American Beauty. It's a trouble in suburbia, a little depressing,
I don't
some
really
comedy.
Know what this movie's about, but go ahead.
It's written by Richard Yates. It's a 1961 novel. It was adapted for the screen. It recently got nominated for Best Drama, Best Picture in the Drama category, Best Director, Best Actor in a Drama for Leonardo DiCaprio, and then it won Best Actress for Kate Winslet and the Golden Globes.
She didn't win for this. That was the Reader.
I believe she did.
She did?
She won both Home Slice.
She won two?
That's why she was crying and everything.
That. I didn't. I only
because
saw her
she was like,
one.
Oh okay, my God, I can't believe it.
I don't follow all those award shows, but.
All those orgy shows?
Award shows.
They are kind of orgy shows, huh? It's just a bunch of celebrities, like, coming on themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we're so great. Give
Wasn't
me an
that
award.
Cool, though? Isn't that kind of cool? The Golden Globes are just sitting around a table, like, having dinner. Like, all those famous people, like, in one TV shot I see. There's Clint Eastwood. There's Meryl Streep. There's Tom Cruise. There's Mickey Rourke. It's all in one shot. They're just sitting there.
You mean, like, people?
Imagine if
because you think like in one shot they can only have one like fan, like that's why Ocean's 11 is popular, right? Because there's like five celebrities in one scene, so it's like Golden Globes is like one upping Ocean's 11.
I just think it's amazing that you can get all those celebrities to sit down and like have dinner together.
You mean you think they should be fighting or something? Like they might stab each other in the arm?
Like what do they do? They're like, hey buddy, hey Tom.
Yeah, hey, they just talk business. Hey, man. Hey, Tom Cruise. You know what? You actually sucked in Tropic Thunder. I don't know why you got nominated.
His reaction to his nomination at the Golden Globes, it was actually, he was like, what the hell are they nominating me for this?
That's what I was thinking. You know why? Because when I watched that movie, I was like, I bet he's embarrassed of this role because he's not funny and he looks really bad and this is just a stupid idea. So I think he was sitting there going, oh, fuck me. This is so stupid. I can't believe I got nominated for this. That wasn't even good acting. Anyway, we are so off topic, as usual. Back to the topic at hand. The movie, Revolutionary Road. It's probably going to get nominated for some Oscars with the Golden Globe buzz going on here. Leo and Kate reunited since first time since Titanic.
Not just them. We also have Kathy Bates showing up as the unsinkable Molly
Brown?
Yeah. She's unsinkable in this movie, too.
Kind of. So, basically, this is a story. Going back to a summary, this is the story of a young couple who fall in love, get married, have a kid, and move to the suburbs where they're thinking they're going to have an ideal life. And then they find that they feel trapped, and they hate it, and they think everything is fake and hopeless, and they want to move out of the suburbs, and they're just going to quit their jobs, or he's going to quit his job and they're going to move to Paris, and she's going to work as a typist, and he's going to have time to figure out what it is he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of arguing and fighting, but we don't want to spoilers, Mr.
All right,
Carter.
I won't spoil.
Okay?
Okay.
We just watched the inauguration. I, William Carter.
I, William Carter.
Do solemnly swear.
I can't swear on that. I promise I won't do it, though.
That I will not... Okay. He's not... It's not the president. Okay. So, what I think about this movie, I think it was for lack of a better word, amazing. Is that not a strong enough word? Is that not a,
amazing?
Is that not a detailed
like
enough word,
the
or
word
like a
miracle in reference to the? Go ahead.
Well, I thought the performances were incredible. You had Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio. Honestly, I was kind of thinking, like, do I really care about them together? No, I don't. And then together, though, they were awesome, and they were very subtle and intense. And the scenes they had together, fighting, blew me away. And I've never really been that impressed with Leo. Can I call you Leo? Okay. I've never been that impressed with him, really, but I thought he was awesome in this role. He seems like a little... I think it's because he seems like a... younger than he is, somehow. So he looks like little kid playing an adult, but it worked in this role.
To me, Leo always looks like a kid playing an adult. I don't know. He will be 50 years old and still look like a kid. I don't know why he cannot age, but I understand what you mean. Like, at least when he was in... what was this movie? The movie he was just in. He had a beard. What was that movie? He was a cop.
The Departed?
Yeah, The Departed. He looked a little older in that because he had, you know, he had the facial hair.
Oh, wait. No. You're talking about that one with Russell Crowe? Body of Lies?
I didn't see that one.
Me either, because it looked like a piece of shit.
I don't know.
Sorry, Ridley Scott.
I think that I would probably give Leo a little bit more respect as far as his acting goes. I've always think he's a thought that he was a pretty good actor. Well, and I think everybody... I think Kate is a great actress, too. The issue that I had with this movie is that I did not care about these characters whatsoever. They didn't even give me a... There's one scene at the very beginning where you get kind of a little scene where you get to build your relationship with these characters when they're at a party or some sort. And basically the next scene, they're already bickering. They're already on the trail. These people should have never gotten married. They should have had a longer courtship. You know, this is...
I think that's the point. Part of the point is that they're immature and then they're trapped in this situation together, and neither one of them knows how to deal with it. So they're just fighting each other, but they don't know how to change their situation.
Why is that an interesting story then? It's not interesting. It is boring, and I'm constantly going, Leo, why did you act this way? Kate, you're
God,
an idiot.
He's such
why
an
are
asshole.
You why do you act this way? I mean, after a while, when you watch characters do things that you don't agree with, you start to like go, all right, I'm not going to invest myself in his course of action anymore because I don't really like him. I don't like either one of these characters, and I think that's...
So they're flawed characters. They make mistakes. They make mistakes. They fuck up.
I just think when you write a story,
they fuck each other up.
You have to write a character that an audience can grasp onto. And the only character that I did in this movie was basically Kate's... idea of going to Paris and, you know, chucking this whole suburban hell that they're in and going to take off, because that was at least
that's
the only thing that you can really say. Like, it's gonna that little thing takes a shot at the hellish situation that they're in, and it presents a possible escape, so you have to be kind of drawn to that. Is it in the same way that the characters in the movie are?
But I think that they're drawn to it also in an immature way, in that they're not really thinking about it. She's just saying, do you know how much a typist... Her idea is that, for those of you who haven't seen it, Kate Winslet's character comes up with the idea that they can move to Paris because then they can get out of this suburban hellhole that they dislike so much, and they can be the unique individuals that they've always thought that they were and are being stifled here. But her idea is that he'll quit his job and she'll get a job as a typist because typists make so much money in Paris. And I think that it was kind of something to connect on for... The movie builds that up as an ideal, but it's also kind of shown as, I think, an immature thought that, like, kind of she hasn't thought it through all the way. And it just seems like something different. The grass is always greener on the other side, you know?
Yeah, I can understand her. I can understand her. I can understand the grass is always greener. And that's not even really... There's a lot of other things in this movie that I can attack. And here's another one. There are many scenes in the movie where it seems to me to be sort of an acting, acting class kind of a thing. Or, I'm not saying it the right word, where you basically put two guys in a room and you say, two actors in a room, and you basically say, we're going to do a scene about anger or explosion. It seems very, very contrived. And there's actually one character that comes in, it's just kind of like reoccurs throughout the film, that is kind of a sparking of this, like, explosive anger. And although I like the actor who played it, I can't remember his name. But
you can't remember his name? Michael Shannon.
He's great. He's in Shotgun Stories. And I think
Shotgun Stories, who we interviewed the director for. And he started his career in Chicago theater.
He's good.
Michael Shannon.
I think he's a good actor, but I think this character is idiotic and just... It's so, like, lazily written. Is like, okay, we need a character that will spark the fight between these two characters. And he comes in every once in a while and does it. And that's just plain... poor. It's poorly written. It's just awful.
I can see part of your point in that it is the plot device, the character. But it also shows when they first meet this character. So this is the character we were just talking about before. Kathy Bates' character is their real estate agent and a friend to the family, to Kate and Leo's family. And she has a son who is in a psychiatric hospital, has had shock treatment numerous times. So what he does is he just says what he's thinking, basically. And when he first comes into the scene is when the young couple is deciding, the Wheelers, that's their name, Kate and Leo, the Wheelers, they're deciding that they're going to move to Paris. And he is like a voice of reason, the first person they've met in this suburban life who seems to be on the same page as them. And he's supposedly the crazy guy. And they're like loving talking to him and they think he's great. Then later, after they decide against moving to Paris and he comes back, they think he's crazy, and they get in a big fight over it. And I think that you're right that that's a plot point, but I didn't feel like the character was contrived or anything. I thought that he took that role.
Contrived in that you bring this character along in order to spark Leo's bursts of anger, or to pick on his, you know, because Leo is the force of staying in the current path, and he's the one who takes offense ultimately from this crazy, insane character's. You know, rants or whatever he does. I don't know. They're stupid. I mean,
I thought
he was a more clever way to get that.
It's a narrator.
Narrator
character. Would you rather have a narration?
It's just a stupid. I mean, if you're going to write a movie and you say, okay, now we need to get.
It's from a book, though. What are you going
to
do?
We need to make.
That's a character in the book.
Okay, well, it's a bad character. We need a catalyst to spark these characters forward as far as amping up the conflict. But it just seems like we're going to have a guy who's from an insane asylum. Duh. That means whatever he says is insane, right? I mean, how obvious can you be?
Well, the reason he's in an insane asylum is because he didn't fit in the suburban life. Then he got shock treatment. Now he's actually more crazy.
He said it didn't change
anything. He was a doctor of math, and he lost all the math when he got shock treatment, was the point, that it didn't do anything. It just took away his ability to provide for himself.
Here's my other... I'm going to switch gears and do another. This is somewhat minor, but as I was watching it with my my sister-in-law and brother and sister-in-law, and they brought up the point that, you know, there are children in this equation here, and the children appear, like, once. And then, okay, if you have an equation where you're trying to decide that you're going to chuck your home life and go across Europe, okay, Maybe I don't understand. The movie's about Kate and Leo. Well, then don't have children in the equation. But you just throw the children in there just to, like, make it a harder decision. And then you bring them in when you need them. And then when you don't need them, you just say, oh, they're off at space camp. Or where were they?
Wait,
this is a big component of this storyline. And they're just, like, in when they need them, out when they don't. It's stupid.
Calm down, McCain. I had the same point when I was thinking about it, but... I think that the reason is it was to show that they're not good parents. They're selfish people. All they care about is themselves. That's all they care about, each of these characters. Okay. So their kids are always – Kate doesn't even have a job. Her kids are always
– it's accepted.
Right.
It's better to –
Right. Okay. She doesn't have a job. Her kids are always at the friend's house playing.
Okay.
That's where they always are because she doesn't like her kids.
She does like her kids.
No, she doesn't.
Well, that's –
She's
a
bitch to them.
That's obvious in the end. She cares about her kids. All right, I want to go to the. Don't go to the end.
I'm not going to the end. But she's a bitch to her kids. They don't pay attention to their kids. They don't. Whenever she yells at her daughter, and he gets up to reprimand her, he doesn't say, "Why did you just talk to our daughter like that?" He says, "What's wrong with you?" And they get in an argument. It's not like they care about their effect of what they're doing on their children. And I think that the reason the kids came in and out like that, although I do agree, it was kind of convenient that the kids aren't in certain scenes. I think it was to show that they don't care about their kids and they shouldn't have had kids in the first place.
I mean, if it's a movie that's trying to illustrate the fact that this is a tragedy when you do what you're supposed to do as far as what society tells you to do, and that's a tragic end to you because you're not made for what society has told you to do, then I can kind of go with the idea of the movie. I just didn't think that. And I don't think that these characters, especially Kate, doesn't really try to make what she's given to be a good thing. And there's no, I would have appreciated a scene where she tries to make it work.
I don't ever see that. We can't talk about it.
All right.
I think, okay.
Just at the high level at the end, this is my other, I don't know if it's a complaint, but it just fits on the idea of not enjoying this film, is that it's so bleak. It's bleak throughout, and the ending is still bleak, and it's even more bleak at the very, very end. So, I don't know. I'll see any type of movie, and I don't shy away from movies that are depressing or make you feel bad. I just didn't find very much redeeming in it, and in the end, I just felt like, ugh. And I was just like, what do I get out of this? And I'm mad at this poor writing, and I just felt bad all around.
I felt like it was bleak in more of like a inspirational kind of way, like you should do something. If you're unhappy, you should do something about it instead of taking the path that these people did, which was not to do something about it and try to fit yourself into a mold that you're not meant for. Change it was the point of it. That's what I think. That's why it's bleak, and that's what I thought.
I guess if it's kind of a warning tale, I think that people, I believe that in America that people wouldn't do this now. Maybe they would do that in 1950, but people are so ready to get a divorce and change their path now. So it's not a very good fairy tale, or not a very good lesson tale for today, because it's just a reflection of something 60 years ago and the way people acted. I don't know. Like, to be like, there's a lot of things where you're kind of like worrying about what the neighbors are thinking of you, and you know, worrying about what your coworkers feel about you. I just don't think in today's world, post Bill Clinton, all this kind of like exposure that you get in the media about every facet of your life, there isn't any. That isn't really out there anymore.
I think you're thinking about yourself, though. You don't live in the suburbs, and you don't work in a suburban factory. I don't mean factory. I mean like an office building, which I'm saying is a suburban factory. I think that there is that. I mean, you have to think about it. You have to have your lawn has to be manicured perfectly.
You have to do all this. And he worked in the city. That's why the scene of them coming in with their, you know, fedora hats.
Awesome scene.
Which is very beautiful. I would agree, but it's not different from what you see. I can go downtown right now and watch that parade of people.
Did you notice that they were all men?
Yeah, I did. But that was 1955 or whenever it would have been all men.
All right, wrapping it up. I say this movie is deserving of Oscar nominations. Hopefully it'll be nominated for Best Picture. I think Kate Winslet, I don't know that she should win Best Actress for this. I mean, she's been nominated 5 times before. She deserves to win, but this wasn't my favorite performance of hers. Although it was good, it just wasn't exceptional for her, which is not fair for her, obviously. If she was someone else, maybe it would be exceptional, but it was just good. I think Leo will get nominated. He probably won't win because Mickey Rourke will win, but he deserves a nomination. And I give this movie, it's not, one of my favorite movies is American Beauty. This is like a prequel to American Beauty, a precursor, you know, 50 years earlier. So I'd say American Beauty is like a A+. This movie's like an A-. That's my vote.
A-.
I'd say go see it. Yes, it's bleak, but it's inspirational and moving and incredible filmmaking.
My gut tells me this movie is about the pedigree of the actors and the writer and the director and this novel that it comes from. And it's kind of like the critics and the academies and the Golden Globes. They see all this combination of quality, and they think that they have to give it higher than it deserves. Because in reality, the acting is obvious, the writing is weak, and it's nothing new that we haven't seen before from Sam Mendes. And you mentioned American Beauty, and that, you know, you can be bleak, but you have to punctuate it with things that gives an audience the ability and the desire to grapple onto. And this movie doesn't do that like American Beauty does. American Beauty, it's punctuated by so many little bits of goodness. Even though in the end it's a bleak movie. Maybe it's not a bleak movie, I don't know. But I think that in order to keep an audience, especially someone like me, along, you have to give them some kind of something interesting to follow. And I didn't find anything in this movie. So I'm going to give it a C minus.
Oh. Still passes the class, though.
I almost give it a D plus, but...
There's no such thing as a D plus.
No such thing as a D plus?
No, there is. So, C minus and an A minus.
Yeah.
Go check it out for yourself. Maybe you'll give it a B and average the two.
If you're having a bad day, don't go see it.
That's true. All right. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.